Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. Well, listen, God's News Behind the News. I know we've been talking about Pastor Youssef and him just being released from prison. But Pastor Youssef, for those that don't know, he was an Iranian pastor who was
still is, right?
Excuse me?
He still is, right? A pastor there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's an Iranian pastor who was sentenced to death for sharing the gospel, sharing the good news in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the last 3 years, many, many, many believers and many people across the world have been praying for his release. And earlier this month, he was released. It was just a miracle from heaven. But he wrote a letter thanking the supporters and thanking everyone that prayed for him. And it's pretty amazing. You know, several times they gave him the opportunity, several times, to renounce Jesus. And he just refused. He said he could never do that. And so he was willing to stay in prison, even give his life. And I think about the loyalty of Youssef. And I think about the awesome commitment he has to God, and says, I won't. You know, if I perish, I perish. And so in the beginning of this letter, he quotes the scripture, Psalm 115, verse 1, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory for your faithfulness, for your loyalty." And it just got me to thinking about the loyalty of God and his loyalty, you know, Youssef's loyalty to the Lord. And as I was abiding today, I was reading 2 Samuel 15, and this really stuck out to me. 2 Samuel 15, Absalom, which is the son of David, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. He basically...
He is a paraphrase.
Yeah, I know it. He decided to do a different thing. He decided to take over, basically, his dad's kingdom. It's pretty horrible. And so he would go down to the area where the citizens lived, and they'd come up, and he'd hear what their issues were. And basically, he was just dissing his dad. He was saying, listen, if the king had a representative here to help you, I'm sure you have a valid claim. This would be taken care of. And then he would kiss their hand and win their favor. Well, before you know it, in a short amount of time...
You're talking about Washington or what?
Talking about Absalom.
Oh, Absalom. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Are you paying attention? Come on now.
What are you talking about, you know, meeting somebody at the gate and kissing their hand, trying to take over?
Oh, come on now. Well, he was trying to win their favor.
He was giving them... Okay.
Yeah, just basically tell them what they wanted to hear and listening to their issues.
Which he learned from watching his father.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. But he basically, within a short amount of time, he stole the hearts of the people. He's like, oh my goodness, you know, here's Absalom, totally disloyal to the king, totally disloyal to his dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is horrible. Well, King David gets news that, listen, you know, your son is, he set himself up. He winds up going to Hebron, asks his dad to go to another city. And he sets himself up.
Isn't that wild? I love David's response, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead and go.
Yeah. Maybe God will see this and reward me.
Mm-hmm.
But also like his right-hand man's statement. You want me to take his head off? We're all human. We're all human.
Right.
I know, that's right. So he goes and sets himself up in this whole plan, this thing he hatched, where the people are going to swear him to be the king of Hebron, this other city in the kingdom of Israel. Well, in this whole thing, he decides that he's going to go and one of the messengers tells King David, listen, your son's gone whack. He set himself up as king, and he's coming. And David says, listen, he tells all his officials, we got to get out of here. We got to go. Because, you know, this is not going to be good for Absalom. It's not going to be good for us. And he begins to leave. And he walks out with all these people, and they're leaving out of Israel. And you only can imagine what David is going through. Here's your son, whom you raised, I'm saying, and loved on. He's turning his back on him. And it's like, wow, this is horrible. And so as they're leaving, you know, there's so many people in God's word and so many people everywhere that, you know, you're familiar with all sometimes the heroes of the faith and ones that they get mentioned a lot. But this is a guy here that you maybe have never heard us call. His name is Ittai the Gittite.
Wait a minute. Like, Ittai?
Ittai. Itai the Gitai.
Oh, he's Thai.
No, no. His name is Itai.
Itai.
Yep.
Itai. Itai.
Itai.
Itai.
Itai. I'm trying to practice so I can get this, because if we've never heard of him before, we want to practice Itai.
You may have never.
This is one of our brain parts, so we have to be careful.
Here it comes.
We have to be careful because it could be Itai. That's the reason why it's going to part. This is good, by the way. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is. I can feel it, man. I can feel it. Okay, Itai. Got it.
Check. Okay, good. Itai the Gitai. So David looks over to him and says, you know, basically, why should you come along with us? You know, go back and stay with King Absalom. He says, it's David's humility is amazing here. He says, you're a foreigner in exile from your homeland. You know, you've only came here yesterday.
Now, where's Absalom at? Is he Abron or is he?
Well, he's coming over to take over Israel. And so, the King David and his men and his people, they're leaving. You know, they're
leaving Jerusalem.
Yeah, they're gone.
Okay, so the followers of God's chosen person is leaving the kingdom.
Right.
He's over. And now Absalom is coming back. Oh, no, he's actually coming to take over his father's kingdom.
Right.
And so where is this Itai guy?
Well, he's walking along with them.
With King David.
With King David in his procession.
So he was in Jerusalem before, that he just left with David and from Jerusalem.
Right.
Got it. Okay. I just want to make sure, because that's just good. It's good.
With this whole group. And so David looks over to him and says, listen, you should just basically stay here with Absalom. Calls Absalom the king now. He's like, why don't you just talk, you know, stay with Absalom. It's going to be better for you.
Yeah. Let him have it. Go ahead. We'll watch. Yeah.
Right.
I can't wait to get his newsletter. It's good, is it not?
And then he says, this is.
But wouldn't you want to hear what Absalom has to say, how he's running the kingdom? I mean, seriously.
What I want?
All of us would, wouldn't you? I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm serious. It's like, wait for the newspaper to come out next week.
Right.
You're like, what is he going to say in the context of that? You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm just listening. This is good.
Okay. All right.
So the Itai's going back because King David called Absalom king.
No, he's not. He's not going back.
Okay.
I'll tell you what the Itai does.
I'm sorry.
All right. The Itai replies to the king. He says, as surely as the Lord lives and as my lord, the king, lives, wherever my lord, the king, may be, whether it means life or death, there your servant will be. And it's like, man, the loyalty is amazing. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is guy Itai the Gitai. You know, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, man, how would I respond to this? Here's your son, he's come taking over, he's disloyal, and here's this Itai the Gitai coming, you know, he just got here yesterday, and David's saying, you know, so humble, like, look, go back, man, you know, this is not between you. And he says, listen, I pledge my allegiance, I pledge my loyalty with you. You're the king.
The Itai said, no, David, I'm just going to be with you, King David.
Yeah. Hmm. I'm going to be with you.
Because he knew it was right.
It was the right thing.
Right.
Not only was it the right thing, but you look at loyalty. You look at, you know, a person that's willing. You see a loyalty in the face of someone that's being disloyal. And you're like, oh, my goodness. And it's something you think about these days. Instead of just meditating, just thinking about this. Like, man, where do you see that? You know, where do you see where very few people, it appears these days, you know, and obviously there's some, and, you know, you always hear, you know, about them, but loyalty is, you know, has it become underrated? I mean, you think about what it actually means to be loyal, to be committed, you know, and here's this Itai who says, listen, I'm going to stand with you. I'm going to be with you. So I look at the word, you know, loyal means to be faithful to one's government, faithful to obligations or commitment, faithful to a leader. And you're like, wow, you know, what was it in Absalom's heart? He had this seed of rebellion. So what was it in his heart that allowed that thing to grow? And it's like, you know, he gave life to those thoughts, rather, that he had. And it's like this thing overcame him. And before you know it, in his heart, he became totally disloyal, totally, you know, dissing his dad here. And you're like, wow, man. Loyalty, so much needed in life, so much needed for your own personal life. It's something that, that you know, we all need, and we all need to make part of our DNA, our character.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking about some of the a slogan that became familiar and is associated with the Marines. And it's called Semper Fidelis, if I'm even saying it right. Semper Fidelis. And they've...
Spell that?
F-I-D-E-L-I-S. They call it, shorten it for Semper Fi.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Yeah. That's what
Semper
I used to hear.
Fi, yeah. Semper Fidelis. And it's, yeah, they say Semper Fi, and it means always loyal. But I always thought that was associated with the Marines. I didn't know that. It started back in the 1800s. You know, families were taking that slogan on the coat of arms, and they were putting it as their family slogan and their motto: "Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi, always loyal, always loyal, always faithful."
And you have to be when you don't have big government, because it's a government by the people and for the people. We have to operate in the context that I'm loyal. It's e pluribus unum, mm-hmm. You know, out of many, we're one. That we're loyal to the Constitution and what it stands for. And that we are reliant upon God and our Constitution, and that our rights come from God. And that comes with the loyalty. The only thing that's going to hold you together as a family
mm-hmm.
is loyalty. Nothing, there's no, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
A true family. You can call yourself family, but if it's got stucco holding you in, yeah, man, that's the only thing that keeps you there.
Exactly.
And nothing. I got good friends that like stucco. I'm not talking about stucco. You know what I'm saying? Family's family. When I'm around you, I just know that we're families. As a matter of fact, I had a chance to spend some time with LaDonna, a friend of mine, yesterday, and we had lunch together, and, you know, she's my sister of the Lord, and that, you know, we both are just loving, talking about Jesus and just loving on Jesus and hearing what's going on and, you know, and the great things, how God's blessing her and her husband, and nothing held us there but love.
Mm-hmm.
Love for God and love for each other. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but yeah,
no,
loyalty.
No, that's
and
amazing.
We were discussing, you know, our loyalty to each other for the cause of Christ, our loyalty to the Lamb. You know,
exactly. And that's the greatest loyalty. I mean, people are, you know, putting loyalty in so many different things, but it's like, really, you know, it's loyalty even to a party, and it's like, wait a minute,
yeah.
There's no salvation in no party. There's no salvation in, I mean, and you know, it's like, listen, we need to pledge loyalty and allegiance to God. And so, you know, there was another article that was came up in the news, and they were talking about Christians in India. And it's amazing that there's a law right now in India that basically says that if a person's going to switch religions now, they're going to change from being Hindu or whatever else, you know, other religion that's in India, and there's a whole lot of them. But if they're going to become a Christian, they have to register 30 days in advance. 30 days in advance to let them know that they're going to be a Christian, and then that is.
Listen, yeah, I'm really thinking. You know, right. I'm gonna be walking down the street, and a believer is gonna come up to me, and they're gonna share with me the gospel in 28 and a half days,
mm-hmm.
and I want to be able to project to that. So I got a business plan. The business plan is my intentions are to have eternal life. Don't know how it works yet. Don't even know if it's possible. But I'm gonna bump into a witness of Jesus down the road.
Right?
Isn't that crazy?
Crazy, crazy. And listen, failure to provide this now in a notice.
Are you serious?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
Notice this required a mandatory police investigation, prosecution, and sanctions.
Now, they got 1 billion gods.
Exactly.
And the one true God, Jesus, they can't, you know, God and his son Jesus. You got to register to be able to be a believer?
Call the clue.
Wow.
So all persons desiring to change their religion, they're listed in a public list now. So now once they decide they're going to be on a public list, and now what happens over there is the extremist Hindus, they're actually going and literally persecuting, torturing them. They're trying to kill them. They're doing all kinds of stuff to them. It's really horrible. There's a class called, I think, the Dalits, but they were formerly called the Untouchables. A lot of people knew this class in India. There's 300 million of them, and they're considered the Untouchables. And what they're afraid of is that all of these Untouchables, quote unquote, are actually going to find salvation in Jesus Christ. It's like, listen, you can't put any law on anybody. that once people want to find God and they hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, let me, especially if I'm an untouchable, I'm a you have me in the lowest caste possible. When I find out the good news of the kingdom, when I find out about Jesus Christ, my a savior for me, there's nothing going to hold me back from my loyalty to him. There's nothing going to hold me back. And
American Christianity, you know, would obviously cash in about 5 seconds into that. You know, I got to give up my nonprofit status that I can't have a tax exemption and my 401k. I won't give that up for a 401j, but the Christianity that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, of not just hanging around the cross, as Steve Hill says, but getting on the cross.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, I think about they have a program, you can see it on the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, it's called Printing India. And what they're doing is they're saying, we just want to help you out. Let me tell you something, Satan controls you by what he gives you, you know, and it comes in a lot of different things, but a religious control comes through a Jezebel spirit. And if you want to keep taking from her or his hand under the guise of religion, you know, because you get something out of it, don't be surprised that you can't shake bowing down to their gods. And what they're saying is, we want to get the middleman out, and we want to be able to provide for you. And most of these are, you know, there's a billion people in India, and they're saying they haven't even, some of these guys, most guys hadn't even seen a computer before.
Yeah.
And they're walking, their first computer they see is they're putting their hand on it to be scanned. They're scanning their retinas. They are identifying them, and they're giving them, setting them up for, quote, micro loans so we can get the middleman out. And it's like, dude, oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Crazy.
Totally so, crazy.
Yeah, and you look at this cast, these groups, it's 300 million. That's the population of the United States, just them alone. Just thinking, you know what? The loyalty of some believers in other countries, I mean, just to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, once they get baptized, once they publicly decide that, you know, they're going to follow God and they're going to follow Jesus, they're going to get baptized, that's it.
Yeah.
But many times people disown them, their family disowns them, they have to, you know, sometimes they're trying to even kill them. And it's like...
And turn them in.
Yeah. And you think about just, I mean, it's just so admirable. And you think, you know what? Let the church in America have that type of loyalty, God. You know, I was just praying about it. Yeah. Lord, we, you know, we need that loyalty, that commitment.
We're definitely
about
to go through the trial, you know, so maybe we'll come out of that. You're right. You're absolutely right.
In the face, yeah. You know, in the face of all, you look at, you know, even the ones before, you look at even the 12 disciples, you know, they were willing to commit their lives and willing to follow Jesus everywhere and preach the good news and share the gospel of the kingdom. And even the way they died, even the way they lost their life, you're thinking, God, this is awesome. May we all have that allegiance. May we all have that loyalty, Jesus, to follow you wherever you go and to make you the Lord of our lives.
And if they can do that there, man, we can do awesome things.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Talking with your spouse about holiday finances can be stressful. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Bethany Palmer shares about the importance of discovering your money personalities and then analyzing previous money fights.
Then one of the things that you can do is talk about the last holiday season, because now you have a perspective. So you can look back at the last argument that you had and identify where the conflicts came in with purpose. Instead of just saying, well, we're just going to go into this new holiday season and everything's going to be different because we know our money personalities. No, you've got to take some time and review the past and say, oh, that's what you meant. You didn't mean that you wanted to go crazy with shopping. You just wanted to make sure that everybody was taken care of. Okay, I get that.
Understanding your spouse's view of money is important for holiday harmony. You can hear more from the Palmers today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
Steve, have you seen our Facebook page?
Yeah.
Dude, it's awesome. You know, for all of our radio subscribers, you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/VFNTV. Every day, there's fresh segments that are posted on there, and it's a great way for you to stay connected and be in touch. I want to encourage you, too, to encourage your friends to like our page. We want to continue to get the good news out, to share encouraging stories, to share the new God's news behind the news, as well as informing you, educating, and inspiring you. Again, check us out at facebook.com/VFNTV, and don't forget to like us.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We want to share about taking the land. You know, taking the land is so important because God has a place for you. He has something for you to do.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he got something for you to do. And we find that, you know, when God was moving with the Israelites and God was using Moses, God was bringing them, the Israelites, into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. God had a place for them. For them, it was a territory. For you, it could be a ministry. It could be a job. It could be something that just God wants to do. But he was bringing them to a place, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, and it was just God was doing it.
Right.
But, you know, just because God wants to do something for you, just because God has a plan, doesn't mean that you're going to get it hand-delivered, wrapped up in pretty, paper,
right,
with a nice little bow on it. You're going to have to do something, right? Pack Christmas.
It's going to require some effort. Yeah.
It's going to require effort. It's going to require faith. It's going to require your act. It's going to require humility. I mean, it's going to require, how we say this, everything.
Yeah.
It's going to require everything.
Yeah. Death to self.
That's right. So in Numbers 13, Moses says, listen, I want you guys to go out there and spy out this land. I want you to explore Canaan. I want you to go through Negev, go into the hill country here. And I want you to tell me what the land is like, whether the people who live there are strong or weak or few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are there unwalled or fortified? Talking about their walls. Mm-hmm. How is their soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. And so he's sending them out to spy it out. Go check this place out because God's bringing us there. Mm-hmm. So he sends them out and they're gathering all this information because, you know, when God says you do something, you got to put a plan of action together. Now, let me tell you something about putting a plan of action together and developing plans with God, okay? The first thing is that understand that you don't want a plan. We talked about this on yesterday, just so happens.
Yeah.
That starts in the heads of men. You want a plan that starts in the heart of God. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're not trying to get God to bless our plans. We're trying to hear God and say, God, what do you want to do? You're the author of this thing. Well, help me to formulate the plan, and since this is your plan, mm-hmm, I'm going to take each step as you direct, as you lead, and if you feel free at any moment to change, I guess what, you know, since you're the one driving this car, you're the one, you know, the captain of this ship, since you're the one piloting this plane, whatever you say, God, then I'll do, since this is your plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to get that plan, so they're gathering this information, and then they basically come on back, and in verse 20 through 26 through 33, they begin to start giving a report to Moses on what they saw, and they go into this you know, long, dreary thing, and they say, we did see the land flowing with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. In verse 28 of chapter 13 in Numbers, the word God says, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites live there in Negev. And so then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who got up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are." And it's like, wait a second. You know, there were people that saw the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
They saw it, but they were looking at it with a different paradigm, with a different pair of glasses. Let me tell you something. No matter what you're looking at, if you have prejudices, if you're have a preconceived mindset of how things need to be or how they're going to see, nothing in the world is going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was in their heart. They were reporting what they were already feeling in their heart.
Right.
I mean, they saw something, and so did Caleb. What's the difference here? They both saw the same thing. It wasn't so much that they were, you know, Moses wasn't asking for a wish list. Just give me the facts. Just give me the facts.
Yeah.
But what did Caleb say? He says, yeah, but we can take them. We can take them.
Right.
We can take the land. We can go forward. And we need to have a conquering spirit.
That's right.
You know, we need to be able to go into the land and not have a blind faith to saying, okay, I'm gonna step out on nothing. You're never stepping out on nothing. It may appear that way, but you're not never stepping out on nothing. You're just stepping out. You're stepping out on God's truth.
That's right.
You're stepping out on God's word.
Mm-hmm.
You're stepping out on what God has said. You're stepping out on God, what he is saying. And you're stepping out on all the testimonies of how God has continually shown himself strong.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're stepping out on. And you start partaking of that and say, you know what? We can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can do this. Yeah, there may be giants in the land. But greater is he that who lives in me than he who lives in the world. And we have to, you know, recognize, are we going to have the fear of man, or we're going to have the fear of God? And are we going to be like Hebrews says, are we going to be those that shrink back are destroyed, or are we going to be those that move on and conquer in faith?
That's right.
You know, if God said it, then he's going to do it.
That's settled.
And if God is with you, if God is with you,
mm-hmm.
you're hearing his voice. Who can be against you? Who can be against you? God is looking. He's looking for a people that are willing to take the land for him, that are willing to go on the front lines like the Dietrich Bonhoeffers, that are willing to go on the front lines like these two women in Iran that distributed 20,000 Bibles and spent 259 days in prison. He's looking for people that will lay down their life and advance his kingdom. Will he find one in you?
Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer 3 levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Mm-mm, delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, the content and the topics and subjects that we've been hearing on the VFN TV Daily Live radio program has been encouraging. Is it not?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I just want to encourage you, the listeners that have been listening, you know, if you've missed anything, I want to encourage you to go on VFNTV.com and you'll see a torch on the right-hand side. Click on that link and you'll be able to see all of the highlights. You'll be able to scroll back. You know, you might not have even known about the Daily VFN Radio program until like a week ago. But we have been posting all of the highlights since beforehand, and you can catch all of the highlights since before you've even been listening. Go to VFNTV, V for Vine, VFNTV.com, and then click on the torch on the right-hand side. Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know, I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me, what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know, apps, Steve. Come on, I got to bring you 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFNTV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you. Select your VFNTV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFNTV.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Our vision and what God has spoken, this relationship that we have right now, this conversation that we're in, It's a divine thing. It's a divine thing that God had began this conversation for quite some time ago, and now he wanted to bring the conversation to this point. And even as we're speaking, that conversation is getting deeper and more defined and getting ready for the nations and hearing more clearly what the Lord has said and is going to do. And the Lord's name is going to be magnified. It's going to be the greatest harvest you've ever seen. But if you go back, and it's been so long since we were an agricultural society where every one of us farmed and grew our own things, that before you plant a garden, before, you know, you every great harvest begins with hard soil. You know, it begins with soil that's unprepared. And that has to be prepared. If it's just dirt, I mean, what's the big deal? You just take the tiller out, you take your hoe out, you know, you take your tractor out, and you put your forks down deep into the soil. And go, you know, maybe 12 inches into the soil. You know, imagine like 12 or so forks behind your tractor, and you're just dragging it, and you're breaking up that hard ground. You're breaking it up, and then you're throwing in nutrients, and then you have these little discs, and then you're disking it all in. They spin around, and
wow, you must have done this before with such detail. You described this process.
Yes,
I didn't know you were a farm extraordinaire.
Yes, yes, yes. You know how it is. And
Pat, we're learning, Pat.
I know who to call.
We didn't know, did we? Huh?
No.
And then after they pull these rakes across, I'm talking about if you have a small tractor or big, but say a small tractor. And then you have these discs that spin around, and they kind of sift all the nutrients in the soil and all the things that you put in there. And now you're ready to plant. And then when you're ready to plant, you take a a pointed trial, if you would, and pull it behind your tractor, and it goes down deep into the prepared soil, and it puts a trench all the way through the soil, and it pushes other things aside, soil aside, so that you can drop the seed in that trench and systematically drop them in a certain, depending what you're growing. And then it covers it back up again. Mm-hmm. And they go, that's just so neat. That's just so wonderful how that works. And then you water it and you go through all these processes of keeping the weeds out of it. And you put your rows a certain distance apart so that your tractor can come through those rows and you can weed it with the tractor. If not, you got to weed, 14 acres with a hoe. So if you put it far enough apart, you can drive your tractor through there and clean out all the weeds in between. And then eventually you have a harvest. The things grow up, the blade, the stem, the fruit, and all that. And you harvest it and you eat. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the harvest. But when it comes time to preparing the soil, very few people are lined up for the opportunity. Mm. And it's sad to say today that even Americans, most Americans, wouldn't even line up to help pull the corn off the stalk. They would say, well, let me know when you got it off, you got it canned or got it frozen or...
Right.
You know,
I'll help you eat it.
I'll help you eat it. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much.
And but that's just, that is the earth. But the soil of the kingdom, we're talking about a move of God. The soil of the kingdom is the heart of men. And if we want a move of God, and we do, we're believing God for a third great awakening. It's not over till God says it's over, and you got to hear
that's
that.
Right.
It is not over till God says it's. I don't care if your back is up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming to take your head off. If you're looking up and you're listening to God, it ain't over till God says it's over. Because he can part the soil in men's hearts.
Yeah.
And so it's cool when it's the dirt on the earth, but it's the soil of your heart that's hard. And God says, okay, we're going to have a great harvest here. What's the first thing that's going to happen? He's going to break up the hard soil in your heart, our hearts, right? He's going to break up the hard-heartedness. So he's going to let us go through situations that just cause our hearts to be contrite. That's what the word says. God does not turn away from a contrite heart. Mm-hmm. What contrite means? It means crushed to powder rock.
Wow.
Somebody says, yeah, God doesn't turn away from a broken heart. No, a contrite heart. It's like crushed heart where it was one big boulder rolling through your yard one day, and now it's like some talcum powder you put on your foot. Yeah. I mean, it's that crushed. Mm. It's crushed rock. And so basically, it's so what seems like it's horrific right now, you're looking at something about to happen to America that it's just going to rip it apart. Mm-hmm. But isn't that what you do to the soil of the earth when you're getting ready to begin through a process of bringing forth a harvest?
That's right.
I mean, you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in the earth, and you're going to have to deal with the hard soil in men's hearts, the hard-hearted. And God's not going to move. You're not going to have a harvest in the spiritual realm on top of hard hearts, and you're not going to have a harvest in natural ground on hard soil. You're not going to be able to throw your seed on top of the soil. The seed has to go down into the soil and it has to die, because unless the seed dies, it won't bear anything. And so now these hard things that are coming and has come and is coming to the world and America, understand this, to us, the church, it's just going to make us prepared for a harvest. If we misunderstand it, it could offend us. If our God is not God, and our God is our job or our money or things or stuff or whatever, that's we're going to mess up. But if we understand God is our God, and that everything's Father filtered, and that the hard hearts have to be first softened and tilled and plowed, and when those forks are going into hard earth, it's kind of cool. But when those forks being pulled behind a holy tractor is going through your heart, it's not cool. I mean, how could this all work out?
Right.
I'm being ripped apart by people that I love. I'm being ripped apart by my employer. I'm being ripped apart. I'm being ripped to shreds. How can anything good come from this brokenness in my life? Right?
Right, right.
And then all of that brokenness happens, and then you're in God's word, and you're abiding with him. And if you haven't begun to abide, go to iabide.org and get a plan now. simple plan, because you want, when you're being ripped apart, you want, when those discs of situations begin to come and stir up the soil in your heart, you want something to be in there other than the same thing just being moved around a lot.
Mm. I know, that's right.
It's no different than in what it was prior to the breaking of the soil. If you didn't put nothing, no nutrients in that soil when it starts being disked, it's called disking the soil, and it's basically like sifting. There was years ago, by the way, used to be able to, you had to buy flour and you had to sift it first.
Mm-hmm.
You had the sifter thing, and it would just, you shake it, bang it, twist it, spin it, different kinds of things, and it would take and bring out the fine parts of it. But the soil is like that. And so if you're hiding God's word in your heart, if you are abiding with God and going through this broken times that we're going to go through, I don't see, I hope I'm wrong. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. I love air conditioning. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. I don't think a lot of us are. I mean, we're hearing the same thing. And we're seeing it. Like, we're already seeing part of it already come to pass. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's already happened. It's history. Yeah, but it was a prophetic thing to us first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spoke it, and then we saw it. And now there's other parts that still have to come.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. It's going to be talk about the Secret Service. We're going to talk about what happened in Libya. We're going to talk about some things the Lord has revealed to us. But if you don't have any word in your life, you're going to go through this like everybody else. I mean, you're going to go through this ripping and this crushing and this disking, and it's just going to knock around your same situation. I mean, if you had a bad attitude that you didn't get rid of before this happened, you're just going to have a bad attitude knocked around, sifted around a little bit.
That's right.
If you were robbing God beforehand and you never began to honor God, for example, then you're just sifting a whole bunch of robbery around, you know? But if you repent and begin to abide and hide God's word in your heart, just keep on hiding, even though it may feel like it's nothing happening at this point. And understand, it's the breaking up of the soil of your heart. It's the disking of that word, mixing it in with your life, that the kingdom, which starts out as a seed in your heart, will begin to grow and it'll begin to develop. And out of that long process and the watering is the teachings of God's word. You let the teachings of Moses rain down on us. So when you hear the teachings, you go to VFN TV, understand you're watering that seed. You're watering that soil. If you try to live without water, you know, you're not going to have a harvest. But you got to plant the seed, hide the seed, let the soil be tilled in your heart. Let the thing be disked up, mixed up inside the soil of your heart. But then you got to continue to let the teachings of Jesus just rain down over you. And that's why you can go to VFN TV and let them rain down over you.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, one day, when it looked like it was over, I mean, what once was a forest is now flatland, total dirt. You don't see anything because everything is underground. But underground, if you were to look, you can see that dead seed now became alive and it's starting to bud. And one day, there's nothing more exciting than when you're planting a garden when you see that first break out of the soil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just beautiful. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
You know, it makes me think about what we're talking about. You know, you got to hear, if you missed it, you've got to hear what happened today in the first and the extra hour. You know, time is short, but it's short in regards to making a change.
That's right.
You know, we can make a change, or it's short in regards to somebody else making a change and we're living with it. But, you know, I think about this. There was this couple, John, that had this child. And this child never talked. You know, most children kind of go, what? They begin like, ga-ga, goo-goo, something like that, right? Right? Is that right?
Or feed me, feed me.
Well, later on, yeah, it's like,
feed me.
No, and then you know, so they took the child to the doctors, you know, and the doctor says everything seems all right, everything's okay. And so they waited, maybe they just needed some more time, and so the child grew older, you know, this toddler, you know, 2 or 3 years old, and he's like, you know, he's still not talking. Mm. He's still not talking. And so they just think, well, I guess he, you know, he just doesn't talk. Mm-hmm. You know, and then he got around 6 years old and he still hasn't said a word. Mm. Hasn't said a word. And they finally take him to another doctor. Just listen, check him out. Make sure, you know, and they said, we looked him over. He has everything. He has all the parts. I mean, everything's there. I don't know why he's not talking, but he could talk. I mean, he has the thing. I mean, everything's there. Mm. And so on his 7th birthday, his mama fixed him breakfast, and his dad was in there reading the newspaper in the kitchen. And she puts his breakfast in front of him. And this kid that hasn't talked up until 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Seven.
Seven. Who has all these parts to talk. He goes, Mama, this toast is burnt like the devil. And so with that, the parents are like just jumping around and celebrating, and they're just so happy. They're just exhilarated that, oh, our son can talk. He can talk. We thought he couldn't talk, but he can talk. And they're just, oh, they're just how happy. And then all of a sudden they came to a certain point. They began to wonder, And so they looked at him. If you can talk, son, if you can talk, why didn't you say something? He said, up to now, everything's been okay. And let me tell you something. This is the church.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. And so this is a move of God. I mean, it's going to come with great brokenness. It's a stiff-necked, stubborn, hard-hearted, robbing God culture right now in the church. Right. And we're going to talk about in the extra hour that we are a subculture and not a counterculture. We're called to be nonconformists to the culture of this world. And we're so conformed. I'm going to talk to you. Listen. This is going to blow you away, but you got to catch the extra hour. We have ministers putting peanut butter in armpits of other believers and making a sandwich with it in the presence of the church. This is, we're going to talk about it. This is what's going on right now. Hundreds and hundreds of young people are watching ministers stand on the stage as adults are leaving just disgusted.
Wow.
Because we've taken on the world. And you got to hear about this. We got to stop it. We're not called to be or act like the world. We're called to be in it, but not of it. Mm-hmm. And we're called to be transformed and not to be nonconformist when it comes to the cultures, the sinful cultures of the world, but to be in it, but not of it. And we're going to talk about it. Just terrible things are taking place. And it's because the church has become like the world, a subculture to it. But believe it or not, that's crazy. You ain't heard. You got to tune into the extra hour today to be able to hear more about that.
Wow.
But this is how, you know, the only way you're going to deal with junk like that is like huge brokenness. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to take everything away and then you're going to have to begin to restore it and plow it and plant it and water it for a while with the teachings of God's word and begin to get that seed watered. And you can set yourself up now for a great harvest to come if you listen to these processes and how God does things. You can't just look at the soil and scream at it and say, produce something. You can't stand on the soil of your heart and look up to heaven and shout at God and say, what's your problem? How come something hasn't happened yet? And he's like, you're hard-hearted. You will not let me do anything. Anything that comes in your life that brings brokenness, you avoid it. Mm. You avoid all these relationships because they cause you to be broken and humbled and causes you to be needy and all these different things. And you don't want that. So you're hard-hearted and seed doesn't grow on hard hearts.
Right.
But the kingdom of God is like a seed. This is what Jesus said. It's like a seed. And it goes inside of us. And at that point, there's a small part of God's dominion in our life. And it has to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we will allow God to begin, as we are abiding with Jesus, to transform us, it will get bigger and bigger. And eventually, there'll be less of us and more of him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As we get more of him, there'll be less of us. We cannot make less of us to get more of him, because that would be works. But mm-hmm. as we receive more of Jesus and his ways grow in our life, and then all of a sudden we just start disappearing and we're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to encourage you. You know, we're talking about a third grade awakening, and this is what you hear us talk about on VFN Radio. It's going to take, brokenness is coming. I mean, brokenness is coming. We've prepared and prepared and prepared so that we can, by God's grace, stay faithful. But there's so, I mean, it's just nothing more irritating than somebody that won't die. It's like, I'm not talking about, you remember the old movies? You know, the old black and white movies, and they take them like 20 minutes to die. They throw their head back and they walk across.
Right.
And it's like, you know.
Like, die already,
this
please.
Is so unfair. This is so unfair because, you know, you died a long time ago, and you got somebody who's actually justifying why they're not dying.
Mm.
So it's just like, die. What are you living for? You know, die. Mm-hmm. And not death, but die to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take a lot of dying in America to ourselves, the church, because it's so such an idolatrous culture.
That's right.
It's about self. It really is about self. I mean, mm-hmm. you cannot build a traditional flower pot unless you have 4 points about self and how to be a better self. But if you start talking about deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, and you know, and quit robbing God and all these different things, you could downsize your flower pot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can downsize it. Remember, Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, then his disciples said, okay, we can order a smaller building now. We can lease this one out.
Mm.
All right.
We need something about the size of 12. It'll hold 12. This is what happened.
All right.
And so understand that if God's going to move, and we believe he will, if we'll respond to him, and it means we're willing to be plowed, we're willing to be pruned, we're willing to be disked, we're willing to be go through the process of seed time, understanding there's seed time and there's harvest time. There's no harvest time without seed time.
Mm.
And then allow the teachings, of the true teachings from God's word, not just some sort of touch three people and shout, it's mine, you know, not that kind of stuff. But just teachings from God's word that you can verify in scriptures, this is what God says. Then that will water that seed, and God will move.
Mm-hmm.
But he responds to us. He responds to our hunger. What produces hunger? Desperation.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We have to be quite often in a, we take water for granted unless we're in a desert.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We're real picky about food unless we haven't had food for a while.
All right.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Even warm water. I think if Pat goes without water for like 30 days, he'll even drink warm water.
Imagine that. I like to see that.
They know your secret now. They'll tell Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow before this thing, but they'll tell him, you drink the warm water. I know God can deliver me from this, but even if he doesn't, he's still God. He drinks the water. But that means that we can get involved in a move of God, that we can begin to participate. So many times, one man got hungry for God, and God responded. Now it's time for his whole church to get hungry for him.
Mm.
All of us to respond to the great shepherd. Listen, I don't care if your back is against the Red Sea and Pharaoh, your mother-in-law, our father-in-law, or your children, or your boss, or your country is coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't over till God says it's over.
Mm.
And he says that if my people who are called by my name will understand this process. Humbling yourself is not just, you know, making yourself look sad.
Mm-hmm.
It's following God's way of doing things.
Mm.
It's total dependency on God. This is how God does things. I need to humble myself. I need to allow God to break my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be willing to suffer loss, delay,
mm-hmm.
brokenness. I have to be willing for people to leave me who don't want God. I have to be willing to be called the devil when I'm actually doing the best I've ever done for God.
Right.
So you're calling me the devil now? I mean, what about the time? And they called Jesus Satan. You got to be willing to be hated by man to be loved by God. And there is a teaching that I want to make available on VFN TV. You got to hear it. Are you ready to be hated? You have to understand, we're moving into a culture right now. We're coming to the end of the first hour. That, by the way, if you don't know this or not, you're hated. But you have to be willing to be hated for a move of God.
That's right.
For God to move and pour himself out. And right now, there is just, Satan is just, Pat Robinson calls it, no, not Pat Robinson, but somebody else called it, one of our intelligent officers that said that Islam is having a temper tantrum across the earth because somebody, you know, blasphemed their prophet. And America needs to rise up to the occasion and say, knock it off. And that was his response. And they're not right now. And we'll talk more about that in the extra hour. But understand this, that the God's greater than all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it may take that stuff for the church to be broken, to be humbled.
Mm.
This is what he says in his word. He says very specifically that the reason why pagans rule over your kings, your priests, and all of you is because of your sin.
Mm.
We're never going to change into godly leadership until we ourselves put God's leadership in our heart. We have to intentionally follow God in our hearts. That's how things change.
Right.
And it looks like pagan leaders, I mean, you know, literally pagans. We have people that are in our leadership, they're going to work, people openly going, hey, I'm a pagan.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, wow. I really respect you because most pagans don't even say they are.
That's right.
I can identify with you because then you just need somebody to understand. It's always interesting to me, why does somebody deny a God they don't believe in? It's like, why waste your breath and your time? It's because you know he's real.
That's right.
And if your plane was going down, you're not going to cry out, pagan. You're going to cry out, Jesus, God, help me. It's amazing how that works.
Oh, my goodness. Aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Contact ADTS, Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.